Blog Talk Radio.
One time.
This is a remix?
I want a white clap on you there.
One time. I got that.
Welcome back, everybody. Mental Acumen here on FreedomizerRadio.com. How you doing, Christy?
I'm good. And he wasn't hurting the cat. He was just trying to pet her, and she gets scared and yells.
Did you really have to throw down a disclaimer like I'm some sort of rotten kid that
nobody can see what you're doing?
Poking cats with hot pokers or something? There I was, poking a cat with a...
Oh, my goodness. No, you just reach out and pet her.
I'll tell you like I always have said, if I wanted to hurt that cat, I probably could.
She just gets all like, oh, what do I
Maybe your cat is 1,000 years old and just screams when people touches it. Weirdo.
She also screams at me when I reach out two hands like I'm going to pick her up to put her in the bathtub.
Anyway, enough about your cat lady.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Mental Acumen on FreedomizerRadio.com, where we talk about health matters, mental health matters, and whatever
matters to you.
We started back in May of last year, so we're creeping in on a year here in the next few months. We're excited about that. It's been a fun experience so far. We're here every Monday at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. You can find our older episodes on FreedomizerRadio.com, the Freedomizer Radio podcast, and our website, MentalAcumenRadio.com, where you can visit, look at our blog, follow, comment, all of the above.
And, you know, it has been a great journey so far because, I mean, you know, like we've always said, you know, that's kind of how we came up with the name Mental Acumen is because we're not really teachers by any stretch. We are students that are always learning.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope you get a lot of mileage out of being on the journey with us.
We do enjoy it when you call in and talk to us. We encourage you to share with your friends and family and to call us when we're live on air. It's 319-527-6208, and you press number 1. And we want to encourage you to think globally and act locally.
Always.
We try to practice that ourselves as well by supporting our small businesses and mm-hmm. such. I'm also a health coach, and so that's why I lean more toward the health and wellness aspect of Mental Acumen because it all ties together. And my health coaching website is coachchristie.com. That's coachchristie.com. Just because there's a lot of ways to spell Christy. And you can also find me through mentalacumenradio.com. I normally post my things there as well. I also have a blog for that website as well. So, Donald, what's new and good with you this week?
Well, I am thankful to be feeling better because we had a weather anomaly that moved in. It was some sort of super high pressure ridge that moved into Colorado. When it did, it blew in a lot of wind with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just instantly started feeling, I was just saying like it was the worst like allergy feelings, you know, super high pressure headache, nose and ears started running. And I said, you know what? I don't feel good. I'm not going to go to work. And that begat about 2 days of me just kind of laying around and feeling like crap. And after I finally got back up and around, you know, yesterday and the day before, I was talking with people and had a lot of people, you know, kind of echoing the same thing I was saying, that, you know, whenever that wind kicked up, started blowing all the dry dust around and everything else, everybody's allergies went nuts. So it kind of made me feel a little bit better that it wasn't just me, you know, being a big wuss and laying on the couch for 2 days. But having said that, it was a nice little break, I guess.
Sometimes you need to rest, and we'll talk more about that today too.
It's kind of weird, you know, whenever you start to get older, you know, and you're working all the time, and you look as sick days as times to lay around and maybe do things you should be penciling in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm thankful that I'm feeling better. Turns out that you and I are kind of in agreement. You can say it's a comfort food or whatever, but Thai food is skyrocketed to the top of our comfort food list, I believe. And because anytime I have like a sinusy sort of condition, I'm always looking for something really hot and spicy. And a big old spicy curry bowl seemed to do the trick and put me back on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, you know, nothing too great. I was a little upset that, you know, because when you can't breathe, you can't talk right. And I did a little bit of reading, but nothing like I would have liked to have been doing, because, you know, you and I started this new book, and, you know, it kind of coincided with the same time you started your classes. So we're going to have to, like, start penciling in, you know, time in the evening time to get back into our Kurt Vonnegut book. But it's good that we're keeping busy, you know. We could be sitting around twiddling our thumbs wondering where our next meal is going to come from. So thankful for all that. Thankful for my health. I'm glad to be 48 years old and my body can still fight off a cold or flu or whatever else. So thankful that my daughter is going to be here to help us, you know, this next week. It's kind of a interesting time in her life in that, you know, she's in that middle teen, tween age or whatever there. And, she needs to have something that kind of gives her that sense of responsibility, because school days is kind of taking on a new weird thing for kids and the times of COVID and everything. So I think, you know, her being saddled with some responsibility this next week will be a good undertaking for her. That's about it for me this week. What's new and good with you, Crystal?
Oh my goodness. I'm going to try to make it short. Donald's still growing his facial hair. He hasn't done that in ever. You can't see it because of the mask.
All right, that is true. The last time that I shaved was 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
It's taken me a month to grow this scraggly mess that I have on my face right now.
And he doesn't like it, but I'm like, nobody can see it because of the mask anyway. So.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Anyway, my surgery's coming up this week, so it's been a really busy week. Starting school back was crazy, and starting the training for that work-from-home job was crazy, in addition to adding some extra stress of getting my surgery this week. So I'm hustling and bustling, trying to get all the things done. Of course, I've got plenty of physical help here, but I had some emotional kind of breakdowns as well. So I've reached out, and we'll talk about how I de-stressed on some of those things.
Emotional breakdowns.
It's a stressful time. I've got.
Did anybody get killed?
No, I hope not. We'll find out. But it turned into, we're on the upswing. It turned into a good thing in the end. I'm manifesting a fully healed body, so I'm working on that. We'll see how quickly that comes about for me. I'm hoping that everything goes well and quick, and recovery is very fast, and I've already planned to rest up for a day or two, and then hopefully I can start the healing process.
Yeah, it's you know, it's just really tough, you know, and I think we talked about this during the pre-op consultation session there. I said, you know, coming from, you know, Christy's field here, from her side of the world of, you know, you say it right there in your health coaching little ad, you have, you know, I believe the healthcare system is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And when you actually have to man up and go to the doctor, you're already going in with a certain amount of skepticism, cynicism, and everything else. So when you actually have to get broken down, I guess would be the way to look at it. Whenever you have to break yourself down enough to come to terms with the fact that you need this surgery, you know, because I think I've said it along these terms of, I go to a doctor whenever I have a gnarly infection or a broken bone, you know. Well, your bone isn't broken per se, but, you know, the ligaments that are tied to the bone are kind of detached from it. So, yeah, you might want to get that fixed.
And the bone growth, because your body tries to repair itself, and the bone growth is trying to
invade
the space where that would, the ligaments would be, and that causes problems if you don't get it fixed. So, yeah. I do advocate for, you know, baby, taking care of your body, you know, getting things checked out, getting the proper tests and stuff.
Right.
But you're not wrong. There's so many things that were terrifying going into this. Mm-hmm. But using my noodle, I'm like, I know that it's good for me, that I have an expert I feel like working on me. He is an expert in hips. I'm getting my hip surgery. And what more could I ask for?
And,
the opportunity.
I guess I'm still living in the 20th century sometimes. Whenever he says, this will be an arthroscopic, I was like, you can do all that with a scope? Mm-hmm. No shit. I was genuinely blown away, if you didn't notice that. I was like, wow, really? Because this seems like an invasive kind of procedure that they would need to
rip your whole leg open.
Lay you open on the stuff. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing, dude. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Whenever he said scope, I'm like, oh, Chris, you got this. It's a scope? Shit. I could do a scope in the living room. We got this. No big deal. Yeah.
So I'm hoping it's that simple. I think because we're talking about this, and this is part of our big, huge topic today, that's why I didn't want to make it huge into the intro,
was
let's go ahead and play our ad now. And if you have any news and rants and things, we'll do it right after our ads, and then we'll get into the topic. That's why I just didn't expound too much on it, because we'll kind of walk through some of the
I've never ranted in my life. I don't know what you're referring to.
It de-stresses us, Donald.
You're a ranter. Okay. We'll be back.
Do you struggle with your health? Do you have a tough time decoding all the noise out there about health and wellness? We all do. Join us as we learn and grow our way forward in a more positive, autonomous, liberty-minded way. How can we claim personal independence if we don't have autonomy and control over our own bodies and, more importantly, our minds?
From the foods that we eat to the media that we consume, we have a duty as freedom-loving individuals to claim our independence of ourselves. From GMOs to medicines to vaccines, governmental tyranny, or perhaps exchanging a good recipe, no topic is off limits.
Join us here on Freedomizer Radio on Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time for Mental Acumen with Donald and Christy Rhodes. Hope to see you there. Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me, because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at coachchristy.com. That's C-O-A-C-H-C-H-R-I-S-T-Y christie.com.
I'd like to call to order this secret conclave of America's media empires. We're here to come up with the next phony baloney crisis to put Americans back where they belong, in dark rooms glued to their televisions too terrified to skip the commercials.
Well, I think...
NBC, you are here to listen and not speak. I think we should go with a good old-fashioned public health scare.
Yeah.
A new disease. No one's immune. It's like the summer of the shark, except instead of a shark, it's an epidemic. And instead of summer, it's all the time.
Now, I hate to be the guy who derails what everybody else loves.
He loves being that guy.
But, Janice, we do have standards. This can't be a made-up disease. The only moral thing to do is release a deadly virus into the general public.
We do have something we've been holding on to, but it hasn't been tested. Get over here, NBC.
Well, we certainly believe in testing, but I... Wow.
So, we've got our deadly disease. Now, we just have to blame it on something that's in every household, something that people are a little bit afraid of already.
House cat flu is coming, people. The Center for Disease Disinformation predicts with some degree of probability that the house cat flu might spread in the following hypothetical outbreak pattern. So, petter beware, that warm body on your lap just might be ready to destroy your tender vittles. Springfielders are advised to stay tuned for more information if they experience any of the following symptoms: mild thirst, occasional hunger, tiredness at night.
Okay, class. We want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie.
That government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny?
We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave.
And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Hey everyone, Proof here. Just wanted to ask you guys, are you guys tired of all the mask ordinances that are passing all over the place with people telling you that you're not allowed to buy and sell unless you have a piece of fabric over your face? Well, we sure are tired of it. Please check out realbarefaceislegal.org and help us get together to fight these mask ordinances. You can also find Bareface Is Legal on Facebook, either as a group or a business page. Anyway, help us fight back against these stupid mask mandates. RealBareFaceIsLegal.org.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative Radio Show.
I am the Wild River. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative Radio Show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Okay, welcome back.
Welcome back, everybody.
So before we start in on our topic, too, I have a couple more things that I kind of forgot. When I set up the shows for this week, I was originally going to talk about body detox and foods and things like that. Don't fret. That will be back in a couple of weeks. So we just pushed it out.
Probably next week.
Nope, next week we have a guest. My next thing.
My bad.
So I'm going to push that out for a couple of weeks. So that we could continue our series, because I also think that is important. Mm-hmm. However, when we talked about getting ready for this episode, we decided we were going to do something different to make it all personal. No, I'm just kidding. It's not different. But we are going to talk about some personal things and really drive it home how we're working to de-stress and detox in our own lives, because it is a constant battle almost, if you will, because of outside forces and internal forces, everything combined, that it's a struggle. And we want to really illustrate that with some of the things that are going on in our personal lives right now. And we also still invite you to call and join in and interrupt our conversation. That's totally fine. But next week, we're going to have our guest on, Susan, and she was a fellow student with me at IIN, and she's a health coach with her thriving business there in Australia. So I'm pretty excited to talk to her. I've touched with her a few times, messaging and everything like that, but she still should be good to go for next Monday, and she'll call in and talk to us live on air.
That's exciting. Excellent.
I'm really excited. It's been a little minute since we've had a guest because everything's just crazy, and so I reach out to guests. So if you want to be a guest on the show, feel free to message us on our website. That's the easiest way to get a hold of us.
Will it be in bad taste if I try to talk to her about how the water swirls in the toilet?
You already said that last week.
Did I?
Yes. Don't worry about that.
Will it be in bad taste?
Yes. We're not worrying about toilet.
Oh,
talking about food and stuff.
I'm enthralled by it, though.
Go visit Australia.
Yay!
We'll stop by and see Susan while we're in town. I don't know whereabouts she lives, but anyway.
Talk about shrimp on the barbie.
She does have some different words that she uses, and it was really nice to talk to her on the phone whenever we were in school together. We practiced on the phone, and that's how we met. And it's just interesting, just different words that people use in different areas. I'm sure I sounded funny to her as well, so that's always fun. And our email address, I don't know if I have that on our show notes all the time, but it's mentalacumenradio@gmail.com. So also feel free to email us if you don't want to comment right there on our website. And another thing I wanted to mention, when Donna was talking about the wind, it's kind of a little hippy-dippy, but the wind is a good thing in that it moves out some of the bad energies and moves in the good stuff. So it's a really good, you know, changing time whenever there's a lot of, and it was a windy, crazy time for a few days in a row there. One thing that I like to do, and I did for only one day because Donald wasn't feeling so great, but just open the front door and the back door, you know, turn off your furnace or whatever you got going on, and just let that wind blow through the house. Kind of gets all the toxins out of the house or blows out some of that stuff, because our houses are so toxic in the wintertime when we keep them all closed up. Whether you have pets or not, doesn't matter. We've got toxic things we bring into our homes, and it just kind of stagnates in our gross air. So it's good, especially if you don't have an air purifier, because we don't have one of those, but just to kind of let the air blow through, it's good for energies and breathing and all that good stuff.
This is the person that I live with. I'm laying on the couch, you know, kind of like under my quilt. Yeah, I feel like crap. I'm just going to lay here on the couch and feel like crap for a while. And she opens up the house, and it's getting on toward
the sun was going down.
Late afternoon, sun's going down. And finally, she stumbles back over by the thermostat, looks at it, she goes, wow, is it really 45 degrees in here?
It was 47.
I'm like, yeah, that's why I have two blankets now. Because I'm freezing, crazy woman.
You were all snuggled up. You were fine. I was wearing a hoodie and working on school, and I'm just like, take it away.
Yeah.
I think that may have been some of my stress, too, that I'm like, you know, blow that stuff out the window. I don't need stress anymore.
Sure. Because it is stressful times.
You're not even kidding. And maybe not for everybody, but it definitely is in our household right now.
Yeah. Like I think we said, you know, during the first show of the new year, everybody was pretty happy to see 2020 in the rearview mirror, because I think, you know, if you are locked in on the dinosaur media, you know, watching that that propaganda all the time, and you know, I like to check back in with them from time to time to see what the next big red alert is, because if you study that stuff for a while and then you study fallacious rhetoric, you know, and how it look going all the way back to the ancient philosophers, you know, and the stuff that they were talking about, and with the sophists of their day, and you start to, you know, see some of the foreshadowing that these psychopaths are doing and using, and you get to where you can kind of expect some craziness, you know, whenever they start talking crazy. And but still, whenever it's happening everywhere around you and people just buy into anything and everything that they're told, yeah, it becomes stressful, you know.
Because you can't just not talk to anybody. You're
right.
Going to talk to people in social interaction.
Right.
Even if it's your cashier at the grocery store or some coworker at work or somebody on Facebook or a student in your class.
And you know, whenever you have a belief system and a belief structure, odds are every time whenever you're talking about something from that belief system, you're always arguing from the viewpoint that you are correct, you know, and you can't change people's minds, right? You can't. If somebody opens the door, you know, or you can open the door for somebody, but you can't make them walk through it,
mm-hmm.
and you can't have that lead them to Jesus kind of moments, right?
No matter how much information you give somebody, they may not be ready to absorb it yet. They may not be able to process it.
Yes, absolutely. And there are a lot of people, you know, we talked about Plato's allegory of the cave, and there are a lot of people in the cave that are happy to be there and happy to be watching the shadows on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back in and tell them that
there's comfort to be found there when you're just in your comfortable. Again, all of my schoolwork ties into all these things, but just there's some resistance to change. It's scary.
Yeah. Someone told me that, you know, I believe in the book of Deuteronomy, it's, you know, written that with much knowledge comes much sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true and pretty mm-hmm. profound. Maybe that's why the flip to that has always been, you know, touted.
Ignorance
is bliss. But I think we have this part of our human nature is this fear of the unknown, right? You're out in the middle of the ocean and you want to go for a swim. You have zero idea of what's swimming underneath you.
Mm-hmm.
That can be positively terrifying for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Swimming in a freshwater lake could be terrifying for some people, you know. There may be a catfish the size of a Volkswagen that may come and gobble me or something like this. There's a certain, you know, I've come to this realization about things like that, you know. And it's the same thing with, like, whenever we go trail walking in the mountains. I have a very minuscule chance of getting struck by lightning. But whenever I'm out traipsing, you know, through the mountains, I'm kind of upping my risk, you know. There's a certain, you know, inherent risk of being human and doing some of these things, swimming in the ocean, climbing a mountain, you know. But I've just kind of resigned myself to the risk, right? It, that's not to say that if I saw a thundercloud off in the distance while I'm on a mountain, be it if I'm out fishing or whatever, I'm not going to, like, say, okay, it's time to get off the mountain. It's time to get low and get grounded. Or if, you know, I'm swimming in the ocean and a lifeguard says, shark's been spotted. Am I going to swim toward the shark? No, I'm going to, like, okay, I'm going to go into the shallows. Real shallows, like ankle deep shallow. because, you know, there are certain dumb practices you could do to up your risk of, you know, being injured by something in the unknown like that, right? But arming yourself with knowledge going into those two scenarios is about all you can do, right? If you're confronted with a wild animal in the mountains, this is what you should be doing. If you're up there and a storm rolls in, this is what you should do, and these types of practices.
Learn ahead of time what supplies you should bring as opposed to just going, oh, I think I know.
Oh, I'm dead now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Learning the precautions, safety precautions, notify people where you're going, all this kind of stuff.
Sure,
yeah.
And because of this, you know, I like I said, I believe it's in our human nature to have this fear of the unknown, and maybe it's something that is encoded in all of our DNAs as humans, and maybe it's something that had been there since we were huddled together around a little fire in a cave or something. I don't know. But it kind of, you know, it kind of ties right into that fight or flight sort of, you know, fear response thing. And these people that have been preying on us for, you know, forever, you know, since we've been keeping records, these multi-generational serial killers is the way I've, you know, heard them termed. They feed you a narrative. They feed you a story. And sometimes they're just so, you know, fantastical that you go, is that true? Can this be right? And other times they're like, oh my God, this is really happening. And you have, you know, firsthand five sense knowledge of the thing happening while it's being reported, you know. If you're in the middle of a gnarly hurricane and the news programmer is on there saying, there's a Category 5 bearing down on blank and it's your town, being you. Yeah, you can verify this information, right? And other times we get, you know, conflicting stories like what we've had throughout the past year, where it's just so hard to wade through all of the crap and all of the disinformation and misinformation. It starts to weigh on us,
mm-hmm.
You know, that overload of information, because we live in the information age now, it becomes highly stressful to a lot of us, that we kind of get to this point of resignation of, I just, you know, I'm too dumb. We kind of are resigned to the fact that I'm too dumb. I can't decipher all of the noise that's going on out there. Therefore, I'm just going to do what they tell me. And that's a dangerous spot to be in whenever you know that there are people out there that live only to manipulate you. You know, if you are an elite person on this planet and you have more money than you could spend in 1,000 lifetimes, what's your purpose in living at that point, you think?
I don't know.
Exactly. What drives a person like Bill Gates, right? He's got more money than him and all of his children could spend in the next 100 lifetimes, you know? Is it always this lust for power? Are they just, you know, angels, you know, out doing God's work with their philanthropy and things like this? Well, maybe. My logic says if they wanted to do that, they could give it all away. If they're really so, you know, far advanced above all the rest of us plebes, yeah, go ahead and do that. Give it all away. Give your fortune away. Yeah. But that's usually not the case, you know. More research needed into that sort of topic. But
it's weird how much money he makes on vaccines, investing in vaccines.
It is, isn't it?
If he wants to show us philanthropy.
He wants to save the planet, though. Mm-hmm. He'll save all the little children in Africa and everything.
all the ones that have adverse reactions to vaccines. Mm. Makes sense to me. Anyway.
But, you know, we have these basic fears that, I mean, I think, I believe are pretty much ubiquitous throughout all of humanity. We all carry them with us. And like I said, these are fear of the unknown. I personally believe this has been one of the things that religion has manipulated people with, right? What happens when you die? Well, there's always a guy over here and over there and over there and over here. They'll tell you, I know what happens. Let me tell you what happens. And they all have their own spiel about, you know, salvation for you and your eternal soul, right? Navigating through all of these types of, you know, scenarios is something we all have to deal with as part of being human and dealing with fear of the unknown. A more practical one that I was thinking about is motherhood. You know, that's a really big unknown. Even though we were all children, right? Whenever it comes time for, you know, when it came time for your turn to be a mother, right? There was a certain fear response that kind of starts welling up in all women usually. I don't know if I can do this. What if I kill this baby? Is it going to like my breast milk? Will I need a bottle feed?
And it might not be fear. It might be stress. And the way, because we want to focus on de-stressing and detox, but I don't want to demonize stress in and of itself.
Yes.
Because stress can be a good thing.
Yes.
One example I've heard of is like for public speaking. Mm-hmm. When your body is, some people have a huge fear of that, and that complicates things. But that stress of I have to stand in front of everyone and speak, and everyone's going to have their eyes on me, you can, your body is opening the blood capillaries, your digestive system kind of slows down or comes to a stop, and your heart rate goes faster and all of these kind of things, your blood pressure rises. And this is an event to like prepare you to go deliver this speech, prepare you to be in front of people. It goes back to our way back days of prepare you for war, prepare you to fight. Mm. Your body needs to be ready. It doesn't need to be wasting its energy on digesting food. You know, you're preparing to fight or flight and this kind of stuff. So it's good if you use it correctly, but yes, it can be overwhelming when you mix the stress with the fear, or if the fear is causing the stress.
Right. And that's a great point, because, you know, with the motherhood, right, it's one of those sort of deals, you know, until you get into it, I mean, you kind of feel it's like this natural flow, right? You're like, okay, well, I think I got this. And you know, it may take some people a little bit longer, you know, and some of us may be strung up a little bit too tight.
And it could be any new experience.
Yes.
Their first day of kindergarten, your first day of high school,
yes,
your first day at a new job.
Yes.
The fear of the unknown is real, and your
right.
body can be stressed, and you have physical, actual responses.
And, you know, and I don't want to, you know, equivocate on the fear words here, but I've heard it explained that anxiety is internalized kind of fear, and that fear is externalized, meaning anxiety is the fear of public speaking sort of deal, and fear is a bear getting ready to eat you. But they're, you know, usually they feel a lot the same.
Body reacts the same.
Yes. And, you know, maybe you'd like to relate some of, you know, what you've been, you know, stressing about over the past couple of weeks, and kind of relate how that, you know, you've been noticing, A, what it's doing with your head, and what it's, you know, kind of doing with your body as well.
Well, because no one event is only one there's not just one factor, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, because there's always a handful of other factors that come into play, because as I've probably mentioned before, I haven't driven in months, and it's been a year since I, like, drove anywhere with a purpose and this kind of stuff, and that's a long time, and that makes me feel very dependent and vulnerable, and I don't like to feel that way, and so I keep having this hope of, I need to get better, I need to heal my body, and of course the natural holistic way as best I can, but there's also some things, I can't eat enough spinach to make my ligaments go back together, and I have to realize that, okay, sometimes I need help, and I just do, I have to go get the surgery, and so, but even though I knew that I needed to call in professional help and get an expert on the line and do some actual testing and things like this, I don't say that the healthcare system is broken lightheartedly. I full well believe this. This is not just some random thing. I didn't have one bad experience. This is my wealth of knowledge that I've been collecting through my time at school, through my time as being a patient in any of my areas. And this is things before I even started this school or before I even started IIN, I had experiences that I shared with Donald that it's like, what in the actual heck is going on here? And so I don't claim to be able to know how to fix it. I just know that it's broken, and I know that we need more options available to us, and so I look for other options as well. So especially knowing that, to kind of give some background as to what's going on, when I met the surgeon, first time I'd met this guy, and he basically says, you need surgery yesterday, and the emotions welled up. The I'm not going to be able to, or I'm what if something goes wrong, or I know about some of the statistics with hospital induced infections and things, the accidents and things that go along with neglectful type care in hospital, even if you're there for a small amount of time and increases the longer amount of time you're there. There are systems in place, innovations in place to improve these things, but they're not 100%. And I'm going to a good hospital. I've got an excellent surgeon, comforting to some degree. But then even today in my studies, I was reading about a hospital accident as part of my reading material. And I'm like, this is disheartening and frustrating. But even just that initial weight of going, you have to have a surgery. We have to, you know, cut some openings in your body and go in there and fix things up. It weighed so heavy on me, and the emotions flooded me so fast, even though I thought that I knew that that could be a possibility. I mean, I'm not dumb. I knew that that's something that may be suggested and that I would have the option whether or not I wanted to do it. And my option of not doing it meant that it's only going to get worse. It's not going to fix itself. And the at least success rate for this particular surgery is pretty high as long as I follow my protocol and my surgeon's advice. And so I'm like, okay, let's do this. But even saying let's do this and having Donald there to go, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I'm like, well, it's not a big deal for the surgeon part of it, but there are so many factors that come into play that I know from hospital experience and from my education and this kind of stuff that it's still terrifying on the physical level. But then I also go, oh, deep breath, what do I do? And the anxiety starts picking up. It's a surgery. There's going to be recovery. I'm going to be in pain. Pain is scary. Yes, I've been in pain for a year, but I don't know what this pain is like. I've never had this surgery before, obviously, and I don't know what recovery is going to be like, and I don't like to take pain medicines, and all of these things combined, I don't like to rely on people. I want to be up doing my own thing and doing my own stuff, and I don't want to miss school, and I don't want to miss out on things, and I want to be fully mobile. I want to drive, and so all of this just kind of bared down on me, and I think it's just been like the last 3 or 4 nights where I may be able to busy my mind. And I've normally been really good about taking a few minutes and either meditating or, I don't know, writing in my journal. These were all very good, healthy habits for me to be into. And I've neglected those over the last few days, minus my gratitude jar. I still fill that up because I have a lot to be grateful for. But when it comes down to like the actual me time or calming my brain time, because I've got the stress of I have to hurry and get these school assignments done before my surgery, and the things that I won't be able to do around the house, vacuuming and things, I'm like rushing to do these things, getting all the laundry done, just because I don't want that extra burden on top of the actual caring for me that Donald will have to do and helping me out while I recover. And I've been put on the brace to see how far I'll be able to bend down and stuff, and I know I won't be able to get out on the floor and pick things up if I drop things, and I'm like, how do I elevate my desk and workstation? Because a lot of times I'll stick my stack of books on the floor. Just all these little things that just started overwhelming me so much that I started to have a couple of anxiety attacks. And I tried to tell Donnie, but on the same hand, he just wants to be like, oh, it's just no big deal. It's no big deal. Like, but you don't understand. I do not want to feel this vulnerable. I do not want to feel this emotional. And I want my children, my grown adult children, to be there with me. And neither one will be. I'm thankful to the moon and back that I have Donald here, but it's like that's sometimes when you want for somebody and when you want for, like, if I could have my mom here, I totally would have my mom. These kind of things that you just yearn for during a really difficult physical time especially.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what do I do? So using my own advice, I'm like, I can't let this go until my surgery. I will not make it because I could not even focus on my assignments. I probably could have had all of my assignments done already, in all honesty, if I had not needed this time to go, what do I need physically? I can't go for 3 days or 5 days in a constant anxiety attack. That's not good for you, and there are ways to fix it and to help it, but I didn't feel like it was to the point of professional help. I didn't need a therapist right away. I didn't want to call necessarily the volunteer lines where it's a stranger. So I called my daughter, and I called my kids' grandma, and I talked to them, and to some degree they helped. You know, people you love and care about, it's good to talk to them, especially, like, as a woman, it was good to talk to a woman and kind of get some, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You've got this. Donnie is there to take care of you. You'll physically be fine. Try not to stress. That's going to make it worse. And so bringing that stress level down, just kind of talking it out, because sometimes, and men and women do have a gender gap. I know I want to be inclusive and all of that, but there is some different things that happens in a woman's brain where you emotionally, you want to be able to take care of things. I'm like, at least I could clean the house when I'm not fresh out of surgery. At least I could do these other things that I won't be able to do for a half a minute. And you just feel useless, I guess. If somebody has to take care of you and help you out extra. And I'm so over it. I'm so over all the things that I can't do. I don't try to focus on them. I don't want to dwell on them. I just get so overwhelmed and upset by it. So it was good to, like, just feel like somebody could listen without hurting anything. And I still didn't feel like I got enough venting time, I guess, if that makes sense. Enough people to listen to me, so I reached out to my sorority, and I got one of those ladies to just, I was like, okay, caveat, I need somebody.
Sometimes you need a fresh set of eyes or a fresh set of ears.
Somebody that's not in your personal circle.
Yeah, somebody that's not emotionally invested.
And
is a little more objective.
Maybe not as cold as some people may be. So,
are you saying I'm cold?
No, you're definitely not. That was, okay. I mean, I guess to some degree there is, but you emotionally support me, though. That's different. But I needed somebody.
You know, the general thing that you say, that, let me interject real quick and ask you, when the doctor, because it was something that I really thought was great about the way that doctor, he lays out the case, basically, like a lawyer would lay out a case. He's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do in your surgery. This is your alternative if you don't want the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, he just said, you can just live with it.
Yeah, he's like, take it or leave it.
And
he's like, basically, you could have surgery now or worse surgery later.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, crap, I don't want worse surgery later.
Right.
So let's get this show on the road.
Right.
And then I wanted to push it out, and I'm glad that you were there to say, nope, let's get this done ASAP. Because, again, COVID may have pushed things out. I mean, there's still no guarantee that I'll have it on the day. I'm hoping. Fingers crossed, my COVID test was negative, all these things.
Well,
but I don't. If there's an emergency, I get pushed to the back of the line because I'm not an emergency. So, all of that.
Biden may get inaugurated tomorrow or the next day, and he may get up there and just say, there's COVID everywhere. Everybody's locked down, shut down the world.
Shut down all elective surgeries. But I need this.
Yeah.
So, it's not my, not like it's a cosmetic thing or anything by any stretch of the imagination. I need it to heal. And every little bit, like the chat with the office lady, I don't know if she's a nurse or what, but the lady that helps to prep me for the surgery, she's like, come in and chat with me. I'll tell you about the how to prepare and how to prepare for what's going to happen after your healing and what you're going to need to know and all the ins and outs and time to ask questions and stuff. That was good in that I feel like the communication is good and open.
Sure.
But it also weighed deep heavy on me again. And at least Donald was there again, and he's been through this roller coaster for the whole time. And then again, when the medical equipment was delivered, it was like, oh, this is so real. It's like an elephant just sits on your chest with something brand new, and you're like, oh, by the way, there's some extra stuff. And you're like, but I knew this was coming, and I still tried to deep breathe, couldn't meditate, couldn't focus, still couldn't get my homework done. So I reached out to one of my Kappa Tau Kappa sisters, and I was like, okay, I only want someone who is not stressed out, who does not have a lot on their plate, and who wants to listen. I didn't need somebody to preach to me or teach me or anything. I just wanted somebody to listen to me. And so I thought, I will just give that caveat and do it anonymous through the leader and figured it out that way. And the person that I talked to was perfect. She had had a surgery on a leg back when she was in eighth grade, and she was like, oh, girl, you got this. And she was very supportive, and she was like, you text me anytime, day or night. I'm going to be working, but I will message you back as soon as I can, this kind of stuff. And I'm like, that made me feel better. I'm like, for some reason, sometimes when you know somebody else went through a surgery, even though it's not the same one, commiserate, she healed fine, it's fine, she's a woman, she let me vent, she let me cry a little minute, and I moved on with my life. And now, today, I was focusing all day. I was getting my reading material done. I felt like much better since I took those steps. And it turned out I needed more than one person to talk to. Because each person is different. Each person that you love and care about comes with some different stressors that may or may not benefit you. You may go, oh, wow, yeah, I forgot to tell you about such and such the other day, and that had nothing to do with what my stress is. But reaching out to people is not something I normally am accustomed to doing. I will sit over here, stove up by myself, and Donald will be like, what's wrong with you? Something's wrong with you. I don't drown it in a bottle of whiskey, but I do. I do drown it sometimes with food. And so I'm coming to those realizations that it's okay to use coping mechanisms of having a nice Thai dinner and having a nice glass of whiskey or cocktail or wine or whatever, as long as I'm reaching out in a healthy way to talk to people. The communication is still open with Donald, and I may still have to talk to him about this, that, the other thing as I get closer.
Right. Well, self-awareness is very key
in
a lot of those situations. And
to have supportive help, too, is definitely a plus.
And, you know, I'll just say, you know, about myself. And, you know, after I got divorced, say, 5 years ago, you have a lot of, you know, personality problems and cognitive dissonance going on about yourself whenever, you know, and I think you probably can relate this to your empty nesting after your kids.
Oh, Those are big life changes.
You define yourself in a certain way for so long that you become accustomed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, just on a split, you know, decision there, you have to, you know, redefine who you are. And that's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard whenever you're getting older, whenever we're all getting older. And, you know, I was always family Don, and then I was like single dad Don, and you know, it was a real tough time. And you know, whenever you roll your identity up in that sort of thing, and then you can compound it even more when you roll your identity up with your vocation, with your job.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was, you know, a maintenance supervisor for many, many years, and doing maintenance and HVAC work, you know, for a long, long time. And then, you know, all of a sudden I had to step back.
Mm-hmm.
Because doing, you know, full-time job in it and doing the same, you know, type of parenting that I was doing before, it just wasn't working. It wasn't working. And, you know, I was basically unraveling. I was coming unraveled. In front of everyone's eyes. It was a very humbling experience for someone like myself. And then, you know, shortly after all that happened, you know, boom, I was, you know, starting to basically put some pieces back together again. So I mean, set back for a while, and that was when you entered the scene and said, hey, well, while you're looking for another job, have you heard about what an Uber is? Huh, what's an Uber? And, I mean, it was like the shoe fit Cinderella. I mean, my goodness. That's,
you're so perfect.
I was like, man, this is such a fun job. So this is like, it's so weird to even call it a job because it's so much fun for me, you know.
And I don't know if you even realize that how it's still been a blessing.
Yeah.
Because since I haven't been able to drive in so long, you can cater to taking me to my appointments and stuff. So
sure.
I'm eternally grateful to Uber already.
And, but you know, it through this, you know, I had this, you know, newfound humility in my life. I'll say that, but. You know, the stress that was compounded upon me, you know, right after I'm like, okay, I need to work on myself, and working on myself with me is the body and the brain thing that goes hand in hand, you know, so I need to work out more, I need to be outdoors more, I need, you know, to where I can clear my head and get my thoughts together, and then boom. While I'm out, you know, riding my bike, I had a really gnarly accident. It could have been worse. Yes,
right.
I could have been in a chair the rest of my life or something like that. But, you know,
it was really scary.
Whenever, you know, you're working for yourself, you don't really have the fallback of workers' comp.
And there was no PTO.
Right?
There was
and
all of that.
So, you know, you can only sit around for a little bit before you're like, okay, what am I going to do? And... so basically, that was me going back driving for Uber while riding a hemorrhoid donut and this type of thing. And then, you know, I was on my way to recovery whenever you had your accident, and that just completely sidelined you. And, you know, it put me back into this position of being, you know, the head of the household, if you will, you know.
And that's a lot of responsibility.
And it wasn't, you know, it just kind of rehashed a bunch of feelings that I was kind of working my way through after my divorce. You know, and like I said, you know, I had this identity crisis, and it was very stressful. It was really, really stressful because, you know, we all have this fear of failure, you know. A lot of people, you know, whenever they're doing something in their job, like, oh, yeah, I failed at it, but then I just, you know, learned from my failure and moved on. Well, whenever you have these other type of life duties going on, like being a mother or being a provider for the house, you know, you look at these things, you're like, these are things that I can't fail at. Failure is not really an option.
Right.
Right?
The kid has to live and the kid has to thrive.
Exactly. You know, and if I don't go to work, then the people don't eat, and mm-hmm. this is the problem. And you know, that sort of weight sitting on your chest that you were referring to. Yeah, I get that as well.
Because we've had to have many conversations where it's like, it's a we got to figure this out. Because
yeah.
It can't be just a one person.
And,
I mean, unless you're
that's,
a single
that's,
person.
That's, I think, definitely been a learning curve with you.
Uh-huh.
Because
I was so independent.
And you know, it's so funny whenever you said that because it – reminded me of the conversation that me and my daughter was having today whenever we were out and about. Was I basically told her, I said, this is the way you have to treat Christy. So she's very, I think stubborn was the word that I used.
Probably because I don't want to ask for
independent,
help.
And because I know that about you, that you don't want to ask for help. You have to literally go to Christy and say, hey, I will be very upset with you if you do not ask me to help you.
Mm-hmm.
It will be easier for me to go and get you a drink of water than to clean you up off the floor when you fall going to get a drink of water.
And what I don't normally tell you is that if you put the emotions in there, because you don't, as a man, you don't need that part. But as a woman, if you're like, it will hurt my feelings, if, oh, fine, I don't want to hurt his feelings.
Yes. I nailed it. New idea. But, you know, the similarities between what you're talking about and what I just said,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, when those stressors are sitting down on us like that, it really shows, you know, when we have that lack of confidence, right? Because with you, you know, you're lacking the confidence going into the surgery. How are you feeling about this? Well, I'm not feeling really confident about it, right? Hey, Don, you're starting a new chapter in your life. How are you feeling about being the head of that? Well, I'm not feeling really that confident about it.
Right.
Right? That lack of confidence really manifests itself in weird ways, in different people. And it coincides with that, you know, uncertainty of the circumstance,
mm-hmm.
you know? And coping with that is rugged. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, just make a little admission here. This last week, whenever Christy was about to hit the wall, you know, I said, would you like to have a drink? And I mean, it was like a knee jerk. Yes. How do you feel about some rum? So we went out and we had us a bottle of rum. We brought it back and had some Dark and Stormies. And I'm definitely not advocating for self-medicating.
Right. And we're not saying to drink away your troubles because we get caught.
But sometimes, you know, you need a little something to loosen your strings so you can talk, you know.
Unfortunately, I have that problem sometimes, too, where I have hard, even if he asks me, I have a hard time talking. But he does the same thing to me when I'm like, what's the problem? And he's like, oh, let's talk about it later. We'll go, no, it's hard, though. It is definitely hard to open up and to feel vulnerable.
It's kind of like that joke that I always say, which is, what's wrong? Think we'll find the answer to it in the bottom of this bottle of whiskey?
Mm-hmm.
You think we'll find our answer to it in the bottom of a bottle of vodka?
Sometimes you have to look just in case.
Yeah. But it's a manifestation of that need for stability,
mm-hmm.
right? You can apply that statement to relationship,
mm-hmm.
to job, to health, to wellness, right? You need that feeling of stability and security. How are you feeling? Well, I feel healthy. I feel good and healthy, right? When you've conquered your classes, right? You get that new feeling of stability and security. I've mastered this subject matter.
I'm not a dum-dum.
Right? Well, you know, it's that same sort of thing, you know, whenever you're having that fear of the unknown, you know, and in your case, you know, it's this new surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And
because I'm still hoping for the best, and I think that's one of those keys, too. Mm-hmm. Even if you can't listen to that person that's trying to help you and say, fine, okay, fine, it's nothing. Even if you're like, oh, I'm dreading it, still hope for the best. Even if you expect the worst to happen and
sure.
then just be prepared, and that's fine to be prepared,
sure.
but still have that hope and going, I've got this.
Right.
And say it until you believe it, just say it.
Right. And, you know, that's a really good point because a lot of the subject matter that I enjoy reading,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, you said this as well. I mean, I think that's what led us around to reading The Slaughterhouse-Five was you were like, I need to pump the brakes on some of this stuff that we've been reading because you can only read so many, like, harrowing books about serial murder and the history stuff that I read, right? History is just one mass murder after another, basically.
Yep.
And then something else, whenever we started diving into the Apocrypha over the Christmas holiday, I was just like, oh, my God.
They're gangster AF.
These people are insane, right? I mean, it literally reads like this a ghoulish novel of just blood-soaked history. It's amazing. Because we got like halfway through the Apocrypha. Excuse me. We got about one third of the way through the Apocrypha, and we're up to like the first Maccabees, and I'm like, oh my God! I'm like, this is literally just one war after another. These people invaded these people to fend off these people, and these people came back over here, and it's just insanity. It's a good read though.
Yeah, and it's good to learn. And I just sometimes I have to, I know that sometimes listening to my five senses and utilizing that, that sometimes I need to take a little break from it. And
yeah, and you know, after all of that, you know, the program to kill and the Franklin scandal and, you know, pedophilia and serial murder and historical murder. Yeah, it started to, okay, let's pick up one of our novels, you know, from over here. And so
something said, fiction that's lighthearted. And he's like, how about this one? And I'm like, that's not fiction and lighthearted, Donald. So.
The funny part about it was that we picked up The Slaughterhouse Five by Kurt Vonnegut, and we read through the first chapter. And the first chapter was basically him telling about how he witnessed the air raid at Dresden. And I said, do you know what that is, Christy? She said, no. And I explained to her about the firebombing of the town of Dresden and everything. And, well, that's kind of shifting gears, but not really. It's still kind of this murder and stuff. But anyway. But
it's still a break from some of the religion stuff.
But, yeah,
too,
I mean,
though,
still we had to sit down and, you know, we watched some comedy on TV. We watched some, you know, mind-numbing type of funny stuff, which is kind of what we needed to do while we were engrossed in our rum drink, I guess.
Because that's another way that we de-stress, because we've mentioned we really monitor the things that we're consuming, and that's all our media as well, that we make a conscious effort to, like, okay, do I want to read this? Do I want to watch this? Is this benefiting me? And if it is taking you away from your stress of the day and detoxing, especially if you can add some laughter in.
Because
laughter's medicine.
Because that was a little note that I made here, that because during, like, midweek, whenever I was still run down from, you know, whatever that little, you know, sinus attack was there during midweek, I'm not exercising. You know, you feel like shit, you don't exercise usually.
But sometimes you have to rest, and you have to force yourself to rest.
Exactly. And while you're trying to, you know, remain healthy, you know, exercising, eating properly and everything, whenever you're highly stressed out like that, it's like you're pulling double duty.
Yes.
Right?
And you have to really take stock and go, what do I need to change right now? What's the most important thing to change? And sometimes that's just taking a breath and watching some mind-numbing TV or drinking a cocktail or eating some chocolates or whatever it is. Sometimes it's okay to just be like, healthy schmelthy. This is healthy for me to take care of me, take a minute for me.
Personal question.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about a dark and stormy cocktail?
I liked it.
For those of you that don't know, a dark and stormy is spiced rum and ginger beer on ice. And a Navy man friend of mine turned me on to them about 20 years ago. And I hadn't had them in about 15 years probably. So.
And I kind of thought of that too, that I was really anxious before Christmas, and I was experimenting with fasting, and I was doing really good, and I was really anxious to get back from Christmas vacation and to, like, really start that fasting process. But I also had my MRI right when we came back, and then my surgeon and all this kind of stuff, and there was too much stress for me to try to focus so much on my healthy eating.
Right.
And so I have given myself a break, and I'm like, you know what, sugar, smugger, whatever I need,
right.
If I need to have coffee in the morning to get me going, if I need a melatonin to help me go to sleep, whatever these things are that my body needs right now, because I need rest, I need to de-stress,
right.
I need to detox. And detox is not looking like food right now. Yes, I've eaten a lot of vegetables. Yes, I loved my Tom Kha soup with my coconut milk and my yummy vegetables.
Fantastic.
And the rice. And I do eat some things that are easier to digest whenever my body calls for that, because you've got to listen to your body every day. And I'm like, right now I cannot focus on fasting, because fasting takes some effort. I will not lie. It saves you a lot of time food prepping and food worrying and food shopping, because you're eating less food. But it takes some conscious effort to go, I don't need to go to the kitchen right now. And when you're just, like, so worried with everything else and so stressed and so much, don't stress yourself out with some fasting, or unless that helps you and heals you. But right now, that's not what I need. I'm taking it easy, being gentle to my body by going, I can eat or drink whatever I need to do right now. I need some comfort, and that's one way I'm getting it.
Yeah. The sort of slippery slope that all those things are.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of harkens back to a topic that we've broached on the show many times. Of, you know, whenever we changed, whenever I personally changed my relationship with food, because all of the emotional things that we're talking about here tonight, I started plugging into self-discovery and how I was feeling whenever I was eating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a really tough road to go down. And whenever you start having to like inventory your emotions and everything, whenever you're eating, because if you're looking at yourself and you're like, I'm fat, I eat way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody just asks you a simple question, well, are you stress eating? You're like, I don't know, what's that?
And even it's hard to do that. I agree. Uh-huh. And I've had to do a little bit of that. But even if you just ask yourself, am I hungry?
Yeah.
Before you put the food in your mouth.
Right.
That is a game changer.
That is such a great point. You're absolutely correct, because, I mean, during Christmas break, mm-hmm. just during Christmas break, whenever we were back on vacation, like whenever, what was the tray, right? The tray with those delicious cheeses and everything, that it was the leftovers, right? And are you hungry? No, but I'm still eating. Why? Because these amazing cheeses and jellies are firing off things in my brain that I don't get fired off very often.
And forgive yourself if you choose to eat it anyway.
Yeah.
But just on the regular, because those are obviously our vacations and our holidays and this kind of stuff.
Right.
But just for the regular. But even like right now, I'm like, I'm healing and I'm trying to focus on my brain, and that's a little more important than my body right now as far as getting in the right mindset, because my brain will, or my body will follow suit after I get my surgery, that you got to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
Mind, body, it's all connected. Using our five senses, paying attention every single day, asking yourself those questions that are hard to answer.
Yeah, because, you know, I think that, you know, once I had changed my relationship with food, and I stopped looking at the things I was trying to accomplish as like going on a diet,
mm-hmm.
and just started thinking, this is who you are now. This is who I am now. This is how I will live now. So, you know, it was that lifestyle switch. And once I came to terms with how I'm going to be living from now on, It made a very fundamental shift in my mindset, and started to make it to where that was my comfort level now,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I now, you know, if I go off script, basically, right? And if we were to do like we did this week, you know, and have booze 4 or 5 days or something, I would start to like feel antsy and weird about it. Be like, all right, I need to examine what's going on real quick. Why am I doing this? Why are we acting in this way? Why are, you know, this type of?
But that's where we check
this
in
type of analytical there. Type of mind, you know, kicks in about it, and that kind of harkens back to what we were saying about the need for that need for stability and security. And like I said, you know, once I had shifted into, okay, I don't want to be, you know, fat redneck Donnie anymore. I want to be, you know, healthy, you know, sort of Donnie. The one that, you know, people look at and say, wow, you look great. Your skin is so clear. How do you do this? And, you know, this kind of thinking. That's my comfort now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Like, I like that it has become so much so incorporated into our life,
mm-hmm.
that our, like, letting ourselves go or you know, allowing ourselves to splurge or whatever,
mm-hmm.
does not look like it used to.
No.
I mean, we used to have ice cream every single day.
Yes.
If, you know, this was habits. We had vegetables like one meal a day.
Right.
Now, I love vegetables for breakfast, lunch, dinner. I don't care. We
right.
we focus our meals in such a different way that when we go off script, yeah, it's like a biscuit and some gravy or something
mm-hmm.
like that. It's still, we try to stick to the gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
We've got so many vegetables already incorporated in our daily routine, and our treats and ice creams and stuff are smaller packages that we buy less frequently, that it feels more indulgent, even though our splurges are few and far between.
100%.
So I think it's made a big difference in that we don't have to overindulge, because macaroni and cheese is a good comfort food. You know, all of these fried yummy goodness things, don't eat those very often. And I like that our routine is more comfortable, and that we don't, by not eating them as often, we don't crave them as often. Because unfortunately, and this was pretty upsetting when I found this out too, and it harkens back to some Ayurveda, unfortunately, that the more you eat something, the more you crave that, in that your, especially if you don't tongue scrape, the taste that you've had recently kind of are, I don't know, they're remembered by your tongue, I guess is the best way to say it. So when you scrape your tongue, you get rid of some of that, and you don't, especially if you're going to eat something off script, say some mac and cheese or whatever, you know, make sure to scrape your tongue so that you don't crave that again the next day, and just go, you know what, I ate it, I own it, it was good, and I don't want to eat that every day. But something very cleansing of the palate to eat vegetables as your main course. I mean, we still eat lots of protein too, and eggs and all that, but we just don't eat a carb heavy minus vegetables diet. Not lots of processed, refined, sugary food.
I think that's why I end up craving something weird spicy. Now,
probably
because, you know, when I talk to other flamethrowers, you know, that, you know, eat spicy foods, I tell them, I say, you know, I crave horseradish, wasabi,
the Thai
spices, that type of like crazy hot stuff. Not necessarily just like a going to Mexican restaurant, getting a fried jalapeno and chomping on it like a, you know, a biscuit or something.
Now that's a good point to look at our cravings, because our cravings had even changed. Remember, I used to be like, I need some ice cream, because I knew that was his weakness.
It's like my stomach reset.
Yes.
Whenever I get into that mode, I'm like, okay, I'm done with that little
bender.
Phase, that bender I was on, and I'm going to eat a bowl of panna and curry,
mm-hmm.
Spicy level 4, and go.
Well, how many times do we go to the grocery store and we're like, oh, well, we don't have any meal plan in mind, and you're like, ooh, how about we have this steak or chicken or something, and I'm like, can we have some broccoli? So you get the protein covered. I've got some vegetables covered. We don't even eat a lot of fruits anymore. Just that I'm like, I'll be at the house going, next grocery trip, let's get some spinach. And you're like, I'm down with that. I'll cook some spinach for breakfast. And I'm like, sweet, I'll have spinach for breakfast.
Because, you know, I'd like to think, you know, I may be misleading myself, but I gathering in my own, you know, information that my body's telling me is that because I've chosen to live healthier than I had at any time in my life, I'm able to detox a lot quicker and easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that about, like, after being sick, after being on a bender. Like, for example, it was not this last trip, but the one before. I went home to Oklahoma, and a friend of mine took me out to play poker, and I got hammered. I mean, drunk. I mean, it was like an old shoe, right? Sitting around with these guys that I've been playing cards with since I was like 16 years old. And one drink led to another. Next thing I knew, I was into my second bottle of wine, right? I didn't want to drink any beer because I didn't want to get off the gluten, onto the gluten thing, you know, for a little trip like that. So I was just drinking wine, as if that made it any better, whatever. So I was like,
it helps your gut better.
I drank like 2 bottles of wine by myself almost, you know. But detoxing after being that drunk, I think was a little bit easier because my body's not burdened with all the other crap that it could be all the time. You know
what
I mean?
That's a good point, because where your body decides to hide your toxins whenever it's trying to process that stuff, it's not overloaded right now because you're so many pounds lighter than you used to be. And so, yeah, it feels like our digestive systems work a lot better. Of course, gumming it up real quick when we go out of town and eating some gluten, but it's not very often, and it's worth it when we do it, and pre-planned and followed by detox.
And it's a sort of a vicious sort of, you know, cycle that, you know, some of the things that we've said here tonight, it's like whenever our stressors hit us, right? It's like, I remember you said, I didn't want to meditate, right? My thing was, I don't want to exercise because I feel like shit.
We couldn't focus on our book to read and listen.
I don't want to, you know, exercise my mind by getting into this book because, and that's just it, you know. I need to be forgiving of myself from time to time to have my need to unplug.
Yeah, you were almost like mad when you were like, I want to be on my bicycle. And I'm like, dude, you need to rest.
Yeah.
Just rest. And you're like,
I need
to
unplug.
Right.
I need to unplug.
Yep.
Yeah.
Drink a glass
and
of whatever and rest.
I need to not look at the news.
Mm-hmm.
I need to sit here and watch dumb cartoons on the boob tube and forget about life for a while.
Yep. And that's okay, because if that's the only way you can turn your brain off.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to do that to have a distraction or whatever, because I totally get it. Even though I feel like I should be able to busy my mind with homework or something of the like, sometimes that doesn't work. And I've already started pre-planning, like, what am I going to do because I don't even want to open my laptop on Wednesday, maybe not Thursday either. And I'm like, what do I do? That's like my thing. I get breakfast and I open that thing and start working. And I'm like, no, I think I'm going to pick a book off the shelf or grab my coloring book and just take it easy. Maybe watch TV.
And I hope that, you know, we, and more specifically you, are taking notes. And I hope that you heard yourself whenever you said, I reached out to one of my sorority sisters. Because,
it's not easy.
Because, you know, I remember whenever the trip before, whenever we went to visit your daughter in Texas, and I spent the afternoon over hanging out with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we just sat down and we dabbled in some, you know, politics here and there. But then we talked about podcasts and the podcasts that we listened to and everything, and took down some notes, and he suggested some to me, and but it's good to have that alternative view sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's good to mix it up because, he's a person you don't talk to every day. You don't even talk to once a month.
But having said that, and I think this maybe is coming with age, in that you have to be able to say to somebody, I've never thought of it that way. Whereas 20 years ago, my viewpoint may have been, you're stupid.
I don't know that I've ever been this thirsty for knowledge, because I feel like all this life experience at some point, because I remember feeling like my grandma would say, like, well, I've been driving longer than they've been alive, you know, just this very set in your way. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even close to that. I'm like, what else can I learn? Mm-hmm. And I feel like you do the same thing, that you're like, well, what else can we read? What else can we listen to?
Mm-hmm.
In a very, I don't know, excited type of a manner to add to our wealth of knowledge and to discuss and have some new topics. So I think it's an exciting journey, and I don't want to stop learning. I think it's good for us to talk to different outside people and podcast listeners and anybody that wants to call in and talk to us on the radio show.
I remember that Uber rider I picked up that one time, and he had a small stack of books, you know, 3 or 4 books in his hand. I said, cool, dude, what are you reading? He lists off a handful of the titles, and I said, oh, sounds cool. I said, are you into fiction mostly? He's like, yes, you know, I like these genres of fiction. And he asked me if I read. I said, yeah, I'm in this book club here in Loveland, but I like to read a lot of history and philosophy and stuff. He's, oh, really? What are you reading? And I said, well, I'm just got started into Marcus Aurelius's Meditations. And he goes, are you serious? I said, well, yeah. He goes, why would you read something like that? And I said, would it be a better question? Why wouldn't you read something like that? I said, yeah. I said, you don't learn any knowledge from these people that there's a reason why their books have been in print for, mm-hmm. I don't know, a couple thousand years now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I want to glean some of that knowledge. I hope some of it rubs off on me, I guess. He says, I can't believe you're an Uber driver. I said,
well,
I said, I kind of take offense to that, but I understand what you meant by it. He said, oh, I totally didn't mean any offense.
Mm-hmm.
I said, every man is his own philosopher. Be it if he's the bricklayer, the Uber driver, the guy that repairs the toilets. I said, we just happen to hold some of our more astute philosophers in high esteem. He goes, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I said, but the fact that just two guys like you and I are meeting one another and can have a conversation about it, I said, it kind of lets you know that it's not dead yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It goes to show, treat everyone with respect and dignity because you don't know what's behind that brain, that behind those eyes. You just don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a story. Everybody's been somewhere. Everybody's got their own personal life experience. Just because we chose to do a certain job or live a certain place or live a certain way or make a certain amount of money doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at some of these great thinkers of our time, you know, these Renaissance guys, like I think you and I was talking about the autobiography of Ben Franklin that I was reading. And that guy just, you know, started brewing beer for some guys that were factory owners just so that he could raise money to buy books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't so that he could identify himself as Ben Franklin the brewer, you know. One of the greater minds of that time, I think. This has been good cathartic conversation.
Yeah, I think it was good for both of us. Hopefully you guys found some value, and of course it'll still be in the archives for you to listen to later, but stay tuned for Proof. He's up next.
Yep.
We'll see you again next week with a guest. It's going to be a good show again next week.
And everybody, keep your sanity about you. It's going to be tough.
Right, we've
got once again, don't go anywhere near a Capitol and just don't believe the hype, okay? Live to fight another day.
Right, it'll be a whole new world when we see you again next Monday.
Amen. All right, much love to everybody. Stay tuned for Proof and see you next week. And we'll have a special guest on next week. Take care. Bye-bye.